Well, it's another one of those stories that make very little sense. We're told that on his way to Jerusalem, Jesus enters a village where he is approached by 10 lepers. Realizing who he is, they began to cry out, "Master, Lord, have mercy on us." And of course, Jesus does. And he says to them, "Go and show yourself to the priests." And as they went, they were made clean. Now, so far, so good, right? But then the bomb is dropped. Here's how the scriptures report it. Then one of them, when he saw that he had been healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice, and he prostrated himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him. And he was a Samaritan. Now here's the problem. The Samaritans and the Jews hated each other. They hated each other with a perfect hate. The Jews were told that they were to have nothing with the Samaritans at all. And it was dangerous for a Jew to enter a Samaritan village. Now, misery may love company. But I'm thinking there's something strange here. Because even leprosy was normally not enough to bring these two rival groups together. And yet, the scripture tells us that when Jesus entered the village, the 10 lepers, keeping their distance, stood together and cried out to him. Now, if they were standing together and begging, that means that they were living in the same colony. Do you get it? That would be like putting two rival gangs in the same room and telling them to get along. It ain't gonna happen. But there they are. Standing together. And Jesus looks at them and he says, "Go present yourself before the priest." But there's more. Who remembers when the miracle actually took place? Where were the ten lepers when it happened? Where were they? On the way to the priests. Now, the 9 Jews were bound by the law. The only way that they could go back home and live a semi-normal life was if the priest looked at them and said, "You're clean." The Samaritan, on the other hand, he didn't even understand their customs. And if he had actually made it all the way to the synagogue, figure the odds of the priest letting him in the building. Not on this side of heaven. He wouldn't have touched him. He wouldn't have blessed him. And he sure wouldn't have pronounced him clean. So, while the 9 did exactly what they needed to do in order to go back home, to be with their families, and to be a productive person of society, the Samaritan looked and saw that he was healed. And isn't it amazing how quickly their differences separated them? The 9 went on. But the Samaritan turned around. He may not have believed in the Jewish doctrine. He may not have followed the Jewish law, but he believed. He knew who Jesus was. He worshiped the same God, and he was waiting for the same Messiah. And it was this foreigner, this Samaritan, who turned around and, praising God, went back to Jesus, threw himself at his feet. And gave him thanks. And Jesus said, well, there were 10, and one returned. Now note, Jesus does not criticize the 9 for doing what he told them to do. But they never come back to say thank you. It is only the Samaritan. And so Jesus says, get up. Your faith has made you well. Now 10 lepers were healed. But only one was made well. So friends, what's the difference? What's the difference between being healed and being well? And if we have a choice, which one would we prefer? Do we want to be healed from whatever disease, demon, or distress seems to be controlling our life at the moment? But if we can't have that, would we want to be well? Now, to be honest with you, I stand beside hospital beds and sent in homes at least once or twice a week, asking that healing be granted and that health return. And sometimes the prayer is for a restored relationship with God. Sometimes it's for God's discernment in the midst of a difficult situation. And I honestly believe that God can do it. So there's absolutely nothing wrong in asking. But simply being healed isn't enough. You see, we can be healed from one disease, we can be saved from one tragedy, we can get out of one distressful situation, but it's guaranteed that it's going to happen again. There's going to be another illness, there's going to be another death, there's going to be another time our child is standing in front of us saying, make me. It's going to happen over and over and over again, and unless we are well, then life is going to get to us. And will our faith be strong enough to carry us through? Christians, the 10 lepers were all physically healed. The leprosy was gone. Their wish was granted. All of them had ultimate faith in Jesus' ability to heal them. Not one of them doubted that the Master could do it. They were all faithful. They all knew the law. They all followed the law. They were good folk with a bad disease, and they were healed. But for 9 of them, that's as far as it went. For them, they received the blessings that came with the healing, but nothing else in their life changed. They couldn't even bring themselves to praise God and to give thanks. But the Samaritan was different. Here was a man whose faith went beyond customs, laws, and rituals. Here was a man who, even in the midst of suffering and hardship, had learned to live his life in faith. And as a result, his life was filled with gratitude and praise regardless of the circumstances. Because of this, when he realized that he had been healed, he immediately broke out in praise to God. You see, he was the one who went beyond being faithful to doing everything the law required. He was the one who took the next step and lived his life in joyful thanksgiving. And nothing, absolutely nothing, was going to rob him of that joy. And because of that, because he was willing to take the next step, Jesus said, "You are well. Go and live in peace." Has anybody here ever read Anne Lamott? She's written several New York bestsellers, which is kind of odd for a Christian writer, don't you agree? But you see, for more than 20 years, Anne Lamott was addicted to drugs, to alcohol, and abusive relationships. And she says that thanks to the unwavering support of her father, one sibling, and a very small but spirit-filled church, she was able to turn her life around. And while she is the first to admit that the life she has lived since then has been very blessed, she is also honest enough to admit that it's not perfect. There are still struggles and disappointments and hardships. In other words, she has been healed from her addictions, but God did not make her life all better. And she says that if it wasn't for her faith, there are times that it would be easier for her to sink back into a drunken stupor than to face one more hardship. She says that some days life is just one struggle after another, one disappointment. And that is why her two favorite prayers are in the morning, "Help me, help me." And at night, before she goes to bed, it is, "Thank you, thank you, thank you." Her faith has made her well. And may the same be true for you and for me. To God be the glory. And all God's people say, amen.